Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, and welcome to Secrets to Creating Wealth, Module 3. In this module, I want to talk to you about taking charge, taking control. And really, you've been in charge and you've been in control all along. And wherever you are, first of all, you've got to take full responsibility for that. And that means if you've been very successful, you take full responsibility. And if you haven't been successful, if you've been moderately successful, wherever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you find yourself right now, I want you to look around and see what's in your life, not just in the room you're in or in the space that you're occupying right now, but look around your life in general. Think about your life. Think about all of the things in your life and realize that you have created this. This is very powerful, and it's also going to translate into feeling even more powerful once you start creating a life that is more appropriate for what you want. So right now, you might look around and think, I created this, this isn't what I want, but on some level it is. On some level, it's where you feel most comfortable, for example. It's where you think you belong. It's where you have put yourself. Now, one exception to that, of course, is if life has dealt you a cruel or unusual hand recently. If something has happened to you that's been devastating and it was completely out of your control. So I'm not talking about anything like that, a hurricane hitting your house or anything along those lines. I'm talking about if life has been going along relatively, quote unquote, normally, but you haven't been saving or you've been spending excessively. You don't have the money you want. You haven't gone after opportunities you want. That's what I'm talking about. I realize that life happens. I realize that things happen to people. So you might be in a situation right now, which really wasn't any of your doing. That does happen. But the general gist, the general flow of your life is what I'm talking about. That's what you are in charge of. That's your responsibility. That's the ship that you are steering. Where have you steered it? Are you steering it toward a beautiful island where you want to be? Are you still out on the ocean being tossed and turned by the wind and by the waves? Are you doing that, but yet still optimistic that you're heading toward that beautiful island in your mind? Where are you now? Take a good look around. Take a snapshot of your financial landscape and seascape right now. And realize that you have been the captain all along. You have been in charge. Now, again, I'm not talking about things happening to you that are devastating, that are way beyond your control. I'm talking about the normal flow of your life. You have been in charge of that. Were you unable to take advantage of some educational opportunities because of a situation that you created in your life? And did you later blame that situation, saying, well, I wish I could go back to college, but I went ahead and did this, or I went ahead and did that. I moved here. I moved there. I married this person. I created this, I took that job. Whatever happened, realize that you did it. That's not a bad thing. I'm not chastising you. I'm not getting on to you about it. But I want you to realize the power that you've had all along, because that's the power that you're going to use to turn this around, to start making choices that are more appropriate for where you want to be. So you've got to let go of your excuses. You've got to let go of blaming others, that is. The only one to blame is yourself. Now, I don't want you to get down on yourself, but just realize that you have the power. So rather than looking at it as blaming yourself, you're giving yourself full responsibility for it. And there's power in that. So take a moment and get over all of that ego, get over all of those excuses, get over all of that, and accept responsibility. Because I want to tell you, unless you can do that, it's going to be very difficult for you to go any further. Until you can look at your life and say, I did this, it's going to be very difficult to do something else. As long as you look at yourself as a victim, as long as you look at yourself as an object being acted upon by other forces that you don't control, you're not going to be able to turn it around. You've got to start looking at yourself as the person responsible for those forces that control your life. Are the oceans stormy where you are? Are there winds blowing? Is there rain? I want you to start looking at yourself as the person responsible for generating all of that weather. That way, when you create that beautiful weather that you really want in your life, you're going to feel responsible for that too, and you're going to be able to maintain it. One of the most unfortunate things that can happen to someone is they suddenly find themselves on the path to wealth, but they don't feel that they put themselves there because they have the victim mentality. They feel that through the forces that they don't control, they somehow got on the right path to wealth, and it's still out of their control. They are still victims, even though they're on the quote-unquote right path, they still feel that it happened by forces that they don't generate and that they don't control. I want you to realize that if you are on a path, or if you find yourself in the future on a path, which you will, to generating wealth, you created that. You took all of the steps that put you into that situation. It's not something that happened to you. It's something that you created by being consistent, by being persistent, by being who you are, by stepping up, by being the best you can be. You created that, just like you created your current financial situation. That's an important distinction. The reason it's important is because if you want to maintain that, you've got to start looking at yourself as the person generating the energy that's making that happen. You see, wealthy people can have a victim mentality also. They can feel that it just happened to them. Things happen to them, good things, bad things. I don't believe in good and bad, by the way. I believe in fortunate and unfortunate. I believe in helpful and unhelpful, but good and bad are not concepts that I relate to. I believe that anything could be good or anything could be bad depending on the situation and depending on the way you process it in your mind. There are certain things I'm against and that I think are awful, of course, but depending on the way you look at a situation, you can turn it around in your mind and make it powerful for you. So think about this concept of wealthy victims. People who are wealthy who think that it just happened to them. You've got to start owning this right now. Own where you are financially and own it all along, all the way to the top. Whatever that means for you, whatever the top is for you, whatever your goal is, that way you're going to be able to maintain it. And before any of this happens, before you get to where you want to be, you must discover your passion. What is your passion? What are you passionate about? Are you already passionate about something? You know what happens to most people? And I found this out by reading a book, a great book that I recommend called The Artist's Way. The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron is a great book. Julia Cameron is a writer, and at one point she was down and out. I believe she was an alcoholic. She was drinking a lot and not doing the things that she wanted to do in the way that she wanted to do them. And then she turned it around and she wrote this book called The Artist's Way to help you get in touch with your artist self, to pull it out, to pull out your passion. And the book is outstanding. It's sort of like a 12-step program for people who are recovering artists, who are getting in touch with their artist self. And one of the things she talks about in the book is the concept that many people want to do something, but they do something slightly different than what they actually want to do. For example, maybe somebody wants to be a doctor, but they end up being an advisor to doctors or working in the pharmaceutical industry as a drug rep who goes around and sells pharmaceutical drugs to doctors or convinces them to buy the pharmaceutical drugs from that particular company. Someone who wants to become a musician would work in a sound studio at a major record label, but create the music for the musician. Someone who wants to be an astronaut, instead of becoming an astronaut, would end up working as an engineer for NASA or would end up painting pictures of spaceships, for example. Things along those lines. Those are some of the types of examples that she gives. And it really makes you think. Sometimes we sell out. We don't think that we're good enough for whatever we want to do, so we do something that we think we're good enough for, and it's not really our passion. So I want you to discover your passion, but along those lines, I want you to realize that your passion will pay off. When I first started getting into professional hypnotherapy, it seemed silly to everyone. In fact, many people used to ask me, well, what else do you do? What's your real job? What do you actually do? I know you do that, but what do you actually do? Because all of their friends who practice hypnotherapy practiced it on the side and weren't making much money at it. They weren't able to support themselves by just practicing hypnotherapy. So when people found out that I was making a full-time living off of hypnotherapy, it didn't make any sense to them because they thought that was something that you do in addition to your real job, to your day job. But it was my passion. And initially, I didn't make much money at it. There was a time in my life, in fact, when I was essentially living off of credit cards. And I had credit card debt. But I was focused on what I wanted to do. I continued moving along that path. And it paid off. That's where a lot of people fail, unfortunately. They have their passion. They start to go for it. And it gets a little tough. It doesn't work out picture perfect. And even today, people will look at what I've created, and by the way, I haven't done it by myself. I've had a tremendous amount of support from my friends and from a great staff of people who work for me and work with me, a great group of marketers who promote my products and my helpful services to others. But a lot of people will look at all of that and they'll see how successful I've been, quote unquote, it's actually everyone who helps me. And they'll say, well, I want to do that. And I want to do that within a month or within a few months. And if they don't reach that level that I've reached, which has taken me years to reach, if they don't reach that within a month or a few months, they get discouraged and they start to give up, not realizing the struggle that went along with it, the learning curve. I'm still learning. We're all still learning. Everyone who works for me and with me, we're all still learning every day, new lessons every day. That's the exciting part. But they get discouraged. So I want you to pick your passion, because discouragement's going to happen. The only thing that's going to keep you on course is your passion. Because at a certain point, everyone goes through this, at a certain point, it starts to seem ridiculous. Does that sound funny? It starts to seem ridiculous. When you start following your passion, at a certain point, it starts to seem ridiculous. It starts to not make sense to everyone around you except you. That's where passion comes in. That's the point at which you're living on credit cards. That's the point at which you're going to school full time. That's the point at which you've moved somewhere far away from your friends and family and you're focusing on that program that you've enrolled in, for example. Whatever you pick as your passion is going to require sacrifice, and to the rest of the world, at some point or another, it's going to look ridiculous. They're going to wonder why you're doing it, and you are going to think the same thing from time to time. But you're going to bounce right back because it's your passion. Now, if it's not your passion, what's going to happen? At a certain point, it's going to look ridiculous. The world's going to see that. They're going to feed that back to you. They're going to say, that's ridiculous. In one way or another, they're going to say, why are you doing that? You could be doing this. Why are you doing that? Why are you taking the hard route when you could take the easy route? And you're going to say, oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe I should do the other thing, the easy thing. And then you're going to stop, unless it's your passion. You see, passion pushes through all of that. Passion doesn't have any common sense. Passion doesn't have any overall way of evaluating something and saying, this is ridiculous. I should change this. Passion only understands moving forward toward the goal. That's it. And that's what you need. And the way to get that is not by faking it, not by choosing something and saying, this is my passion. I'm going to move toward that. It's by tuning into what your passion is already and moving toward that. If you want to be an astronaut, if you want to be a singer, if you want to be a painter, if you want to be a hypnotherapist, if you want to be a doctor, whatever you want to be, tune into that passion. Probably it's something that you thought of when you were a kid. For me, my passion as a hypnotherapist came to me when I was about 15 and I read a book on hypnotherapy. And I thought, I want to be a hypnotherapist. Didn't make any sense to anyone around me, but it made sense to me because it's something I felt inside. I just wanted to be that. My dad wanted me to major in college, major in business and minor in computers. At that time, the minor was just called computers. It was the 80s and computers were relatively new. So you could minor in something called computers. I imagine it's much more specific now. Computer engineering, computer science, computer graphic design, etc. At that time, it was just computers. So he wanted me to major in business and minor in computers. I didn't want to do that. I majored in psychology and didn't choose a minor because the closest thing to hypnotherapy at the University of Florida, where I went for my undergraduate degree, was psychology. So I picked that. Didn't make any sense to my dad. Didn't make any sense to my friends. What did make sense to my friends was becoming an accountant, becoming a doctor, becoming a lawyer, something like that, because those are mainstream professions which are known to generate money. I wasn't interested in money at the time. I was interested in my passion. That's an important distinction. When you find your passion, it's not going to necessarily be something that the world looks at and says, oh, you'll be rich if you do that. It might actually be something that the world looks at and says, how in the world are you going to support yourself doing that? And that's exactly what hypnotherapy is, because most people, unfortunately, do not make a full-time living when they practice hypnotherapy. It's something they do on the side. And then there are people who do make a living off of hypnotherapy, but it's not a tremendous living. Then there are a few people who really have that as their passion, who want to help as many people as possible. And I'm not setting myself up here as better than anyone else. I'm just saying that if it's really your passion, then you're going to be very successful at it, whatever it is and whoever you are. And interestingly enough, everything becomes easy after that. Working 12-hour days, 20-hour days even, becomes easy. Fortunately, I'm at the point now where I don't have to work a tremendous amount. But when I did, and when I still do on occasion, it doesn't matter to me. It's okay. I just do it. It doesn't even seem like work. It doesn't even seem like I'm pushing myself. even though I went through a period of a few years where people said, well, when do you do anything else besides work? But it didn't feel that way to me. What it felt like to me was, I'm enjoying this and I'm doing what I want to do. That's what it felt like. That's how you know you found your passion. And that's something that only you can discover. So I encourage you to discover your passion. But more importantly than that, you've got to take it and you've got to get a formal plan in place. If your passion, for example, is hypnotherapy, let's take that because it's an example that I'm familiar with, and you decide, okay, my passion is hypnotherapy, I'm going to pursue this. And then you start reading a lot of books about hypnotherapy, and you start going to a lot of seminars about hypnotherapy, and you become a certified clinical hypnotherapist. And you keep gathering information, gathering, learning, to the point where you know a lot about hypnotherapy. In fact, you know as much as or more than most hypnotherapists. But what's happened at that point? You're a wealth of knowledge. You become similar to an encyclopedia of hypnotherapy, but you still haven't done anything with it. That's where you've got to bring some planning into place. You've got to take your passion and you've got to put it within a formal structure. You've got to set goals for yourself. You've got to set yearly goals, monthly goals, weekly goals, daily goals, and they have got to relate to you generating money. It's not good enough, if you want to become wealthy, it's not good enough to just get excited about whatever you want to learn and to learn it. That's not going to get you where you want to be. That's great, it's exciting, it's wonderful, and it's powerful, but it's not enough. There's got to be a plan in place. So I encourage you right now to write down your long-term goal related to your passion. If you haven't discovered your passion yet, take some time later today and meditate and just think of the first thing that comes to mind. What would you rather be doing? What would you like to do even if you didn't make any money doing it? In an ideal world, what would you be doing? If money didn't matter, if you could do anything you want to do, what would you be doing? And then I want you to start creating a plan around that. What's your goal 1 year from now relating to that? What's your goal 1 month from now, 1 week from now, 1 day from now? Initially, you're probably going to just have to gather information about it, and you're going to have to learn. Some goals take care of themselves. For example, if you want to be a medical doctor, and you take all the steps to go to medical school, and you continue along, and you go through medical school, and you finish, and you do your residency and so forth, pass your boards, perhaps go to a specialty school where you specialize in something. By the time you've done all of that, you are on a course, you're on a track that will place you in a position where you will make money. You've already been making money along the way, in fact. So certain courses, certain tracks that you can take in life actually take care of themselves, but other ones don't. Hypnotherapy is a great example of that. Becoming an artist is another great example of that. You can take all the steps to become a hypnotherapist, yet not have any financial plan in place. You can take all the steps to become an artist, perhaps become trained at an art academy, move to a place where other artists are, and still not have a way to make money at it. Some people go to art school and they graduate and they think, well, they're going to be set up as an artist, and they find out that they're not set up as an artist. They've got an art education. They know how to paint, for example, but they're not set up as a painter generating money. So you've got to put into place a financial plan along with the education that you need to get for your passion. Most passion requires a little bit, if not a lot, of education. If you have a passion to be a doctor, that's not good enough. You still need to go to medical school. If you have a passion to be a painter, but you don't know how to paint, then that's not good enough. You still need to learn how to paint. Unless you want to create a new form of art, which has been done, where you're just sort of splattering colors around. Now that's happened. But then you have to convince everyone that this is a form of art, and you have to go through all of the groundwork to get your art out there. There are steps that need to be taken. Doesn't happen by magic. Work all of this into your plan. Along the way, I want you to surround yourself with like-minded people. If you want to be an artist or a hypnotherapist or an astronaut or an engineer or a teacher, whatever you want to be, you need to surround yourself with like-minded people. You need to start associating with people who think like you. Now, interestingly enough, sometimes you need to do the opposite. For example, when I started in hypnotherapy, a lot of people who were practicing hypnotherapy were not making a lot of money at it, as I mentioned. And so if I surrounded myself with those people, who I still loved and adored and so forth, but if I surrounded myself on a day-to-day basis with those people, they would actually bring me down because they would convince me that it's not something you do full-time. If you're an artist and you surround yourself with other artists who think that it's something you do on the side and you don't make much money at, they can bring you down. I have an artist friend who, even in art school, was selling his paintings for $16,000 a painting in art school. He actually paid for his first house selling his paintings. He paid for his current house, which is $800,000, by the way, by selling paintings. He had a financial plan. He believed in himself. If he had surrounded himself with his fellow art students at the time and believed what they said, and this is according to him, he would have been brought down. There's no way he would have started placing high price tags on his paintings. He would have devalued himself, and he would not have been as financially successful as he is today. So surround yourself with like-minded people, and that doesn't necessarily mean people in your industry, people who are doing what you're doing. It means people who are doing what you're doing the way that you want to do it. And if you're not able to find those people in your environment, which I wasn't initially, then surround yourself with people who are successful in whatever they do. Use that as your inspiration. You've also got to believe in yourself, and you've got to know your morals and values. Along the way, make sure that you don't sell out at any point just to make a quick buck, for example. Make sure that you have a compass inside that points toward doing the right thing and that you follow that compass. You'll see from time to time people in the news who became successful, but they cheated their way there. It all gets found out eventually. So why do it? Take the right path, do the right thing. Realize that eventually there'll come a point where you can delegate. You don't have to do everything. In fact, at a certain point, you won't be able to do everything. You must delegate. That happens later. Initially, you're going to be everything. You're going to be the billing department. You're going to be the sales department. You're going to be the production department. You are going to be everything. But eventually, that's not going to be the case. In fact, that won't be able to be the case because there aren't enough hours in the day for you to do everything at the level at which it's going to eventually need to be done. So realize you need to start delegating. Always work with people who add value to your goals. They take your goal and they add value to it. And always ask for support if you need it along the way. There are so many people who are successful who are glad to help. And along these lines, look for opportunities. Look for ways that you can improve your situation. Remember, always focus on your goals. You'll be aware of distractions, but you avoid them and you focus. Let go of your excuses and keep moving forward. And join me in the next module as we talk about smart spending.